the human being, insan, whenever he starts to perform a good deed, a good action, then during that good action, in that path, during that deed, performing that deed, Shaitan, he tries his best, his maximum, to divert that individual away from that good deed. That's his biggest enmity between us and Shaitan. That's his biggest enmity with us, that he doesn't like at all that any individual, that an individual goes towards doing a good deed, practicing a good action, a pious action. The more that a person, he, whatever action it is, if it draws a person closer to Allah and draws a person near to Allah, the more it draws a person near to Allah, then the more Shaitan will try to take that person away from the action. Remember this formula always, that if there's a big point to understand with regards to the successful thereafter, because in the beginning he won't do anything. There's passion, there's iman inside the individual, he embarks on an action, he initiates an action, but then Shaitan, he instills his wasawis, he injects his whispers. Shaitan, Allah's given Shaitan the strength and energy that he is flowing in the body of the human being like the blood. And he's trying his maximum, Shaitan, that through his influence, he takes that person away from the good action. This is called wasawis, thoughts, negative thoughts that come in a person's mind. So when for an action, for a deed, when negative thoughts start to come, then what occurs is that spiritually that individual becomes weak spiritually, and his passion decreases, his desire increases, and he goes down, deflates, and Shaitan wins. For example, he starts to pray salah, the individual is praying salah regularly, a lot of salah, and Shaitan wants to trap that person or overwhelm that person, so he gives waswasa to that person and he works hard on that person. Shaitan works hard on that person, slowly becomes weak. So whenever an individual starts a good deed, initiates a good action, then he should be ready that this opportunity will come and I will have to clash and fight with Shaitan. In no way or form, don't let Shaitan win. Remember this. Otherwise you have lost, you have failed. And then slowly he'll take you so far away that he won't let you come back. He won't let that person come back because the waswasa, his negative thoughts, overwhelm him, overtake him. And this is a very big, you could say, disease, especially in tasawwuf, spirituality. A person who's traveling to Allah, and this is a big path. A person, he is seeking the path spiritually, he starts to do dhikr, adhkar. The first step to attain Allah, you know, when he starts, the individual, that's dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah. And the person, he says, okay, let me start. Now I want to get closer to Allah. Alhamdulillah, my salah is good. My Quran is good. My recitation is good. My reading Quran is good. And I want to start to attain Allah's qurb and nearness. I want to get closer to Allah. And a person tries, makes effort, and he should. This isn't the case that you should just stay where you are in the status quo. Allah Ta'ala's love is azeem, the greatest thing to attain. So you shouldn't just stop where you are and put the brakes on day and night. Keep on trying to promote yourself and progress. So he says, okay, so let's travel. So the first step on the journey is dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah. And dhikrullah, Shaitan, he's finished when a person does dhikrullah. He says, oh, I've lost out now, because he started the journey now. He's embarked on the journey now, this person who's practicing, and he'll arrive to Allah, he'll get close to Allah, and I will lose out, says Shaitan. I will lose out. So when the believer starts doing dhikrullah, then Shaitan, he works hard against that person. He puts full effort against that person who does dhikrullah. And wasawis, shaitani, dangers, khatarat, traps of Shaitan, whispers of Shaitan that he injects into a person. Now if that individual, even during dhikr, you can get waswasa and negative thoughts, and the biggest waswasa he will inject into a person who's practicing that, there's no benefit of your dhikr. That's the worst thought he will inject into you. What's the benefit of the dhikr you're doing? And this is a big attack of Shaitan. He gets up, he goes, so many days you've been in dhikr, so many days. What's the benefit you're attaining for this? Oh, there's no enjoyment. I heard that there was enjoyment and so many hadith and Hazrat says this and that. But yaar, I can't see anything beneficial. He makes that person think that Shaitan's waswas, I'm telling you, these are the waswasas of Shaitan. And I'll tell you the answer for this as well, alhamdulillah. that this is how he deflates a person and makes him go down. What's the benefit of your dhikr? Says shaitan, there's no benefit, you're wasting time. Then he puts another injection into the mind. There's no enjoyment in this dhikr. There's no taste in this. Your thoughts are going somewhere else. Your thoughts are wandering. Your eyes are closed. You're trying to concentrate. You're doing tasbih. What's the benefit of all this? Shaitan makes you think, oh, just leave this. Let's do some other action of the deen. And he'll show you another path. Rather, that he won't take him to the other path. So let me leave this. And he's just showing him empty paths. Do talawah, do other pious actions. And he's showing him other alternative things. Because he wants shaitan, that this individual, I want to divert him away from dhikr. Because this is the practice that will take him close to Allah. Which you've heard in the Quran, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ, Allah says. So quickly a person progresses in the path, the hair he remembers Allah. Allah says, I also remember you. Subhanallah. So qurb has a high status, and the shaitan makes that believer think, oh, there's no enjoyment, I'm not enjoying dhikr, leave dhikr. So he injects this waswasas. These are all the waswas of the shaitan that he attacks a person with. So what do we need to do when we are facing this dilemma? First of all, we should think firm, solid, that the path I've embarked on, the whole Quran is filled with this. All the hadith are filled with this. Allah Ta'ala is saying, the Holy Prophet has announced. What a great thing. La yashqa. Allah says, what a great statement. That this is such an action. The dhikr of Allah. That any individual, when he does dhikr, is never he will lose out. No way will he lose out if he does the dhikr of Allah. Whoever sits in the majlis, who arrives, what a big guarantee. And shaitan, what guarantee does he give? Will tell you, oh, there's no enjoyment, there's no taste, it's not good. But Allah, what's his guarantee? That if you go and sit and attend this majlis, take part, la yashka, then you will never get up with a negative in your account. So who should we listen to? Shaitan or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So first thing, listen carefully and clearly, which is that enjoyment, having a good feeling, emotions, taste, I want to do dhikr, I want to feel this and that and high. Yes, fine. These things are there. And mashallah, there is enjoyment of dhikr. That when an individual, as a Mulana Rumi, Rahmatullah, said that when I recite the name of Allah, when I remember Allah's name, then my whole body is like, it's melting and it's feeling sweet. So there is enjoyment. There is taste. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. But if me and you can't feel that, then you don't lose hope and give up. Yes? So what's the reason for that? And the reason for that is this. That for example, you've got nice sweets in front of you, like gulab jamun, laddu, and you get these different sweets, and you've got the box of sweets in front of you, and you're eating that, and you're enjoying that. And you say that there's no enjoyment in the gulab jamun. Then you pick the other, the laddu. I can't feel the taste. And barfi, this is not good. It's like bitter a little bit. No. That there's another person who's tasting those sweets and the other person doesn't realize the taste. What we see here is that that person is sick. He is unwell. This person's unwell and his taste, he hasn't got that sense of taste. He's lost his taste. Soon as he cures himself, becomes healthier, then he'll also enjoy those foods just like the other person who's healthy. So dhikrullah, there is enjoyment. And inside us, that there's so much impurities of sin and shaitaniyat, etc. It doesn't eliminate straight away. So when a person regularly, consistently, without any precondition, when he keeps on doing dhikr, dhikrullah, 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 alhamdulillah, that maqam will arrive that he'll start to enjoy dhikrullah as well. That ultimately will arrive. Yeah, but we don't want to wait for that. We say immediately we want to see the benefits. The first thing is shaitan makes you think, leave the dhikr. There's no enjoyment. So straightforward answer for that is, the dhikr of Allah that we do, remembering Allah, Hazrat Mulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Sahib rahmatullahi, he told us this, that he was a hakim, the physician of tasawwuf. MashaAllah, he said a beautiful thing. The first and foremost, he said, understand this point, that dhikr of Allah, when a person performs it, you don't do dhikr for enjoyment. You don't do it for good emotions. You don't do it for kashf, to attain visions and karamat or miracles or to become a pious person. If these are your thoughts, then better than this, then you failed, even in the beginning. The one maqsad, objective, reason, purpose to do dhikr is what? Is what? That Allah has ordered us, instructed us. Fadhkuruni, Allah says. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira. Allah says, praise Allah, give zakah, do hajj. And behind that, there are many benefits for Hajj, for Umrah, for reading Quran, for Tilawat. So many benefits of each of these actions, we can't even imagine. Same well as instructed that perform my dhikr. Remember me, what's the difference between dhikr and the other actions? What's the difference? Is that all amal Allah has just said, pray salah, perform hajj, go on umrah, or do this. But dhikrullah, what does Allah Ta'ala say about dhikrullah? Wadhkurullah kathiran kathira, Allah says, kathira. Wherever the name of dhikr comes, Allah Ta'ala says, Allah hasn't just said do dhikr, Allah says, remember me abundantly. High quantity. So this is a beautiful, unique. Imagine the rewards Allah has given for dhikr. La yashka, Allah says that there's no way you will lose out if you perform my dhikr. For example, you come to the majlis, you say, I'm not enjoying, I'm not feeling the taste. But Allah says that a person who attends the majlis of dhikr, he never leaves empty-handed. So it's a beautiful, unique point I'd like to share with you. That when Allah says that you will never incur a loss, what does that mean, incur a loss? For example, yes, a person, how does he not incur a loss? That it's not just for one thing here that Allah Ta'ala says. Allah Ta'ala hasn't just said that you will lose out due to this, or you won't leave empty-handed, or you won't incur a loss. Rather, in all of this, all of the aspects of life are covered. That if an individual, if he is devoid of good health, or if there's an individual who doesn't have children, or somebody is overwhelmed by distress and sadness, or somebody is overtaken by illness, or somebody's got pressures of business, or somebody's got other difficulties and problems in life, all sorts of issues and problems, whoever comes to this majlis will not leave in a more negative fashion than he arrived. Subhanallah. How much Allah's majlis covers all aspects of life in which me and you are sat, alhamdulillah, this gathering of dhikrullah. Yes? For example, I'm extremely ill. I'm unwell. And what's the first cure? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that immediately go and attend a dhikrullah majlis and go with this niyyah that Allah Ta'ala have come to this gathering for this reason. So Allah, please eliminate my sickness. The pious predecessors have said that whatever you require, your desire, then make niyyah for that and attend the majlis. Yes, that my children, they're sick, or my children are upset, there's sorrow, there's distress, or this problem, or I'm losing out this way, that way. It's stated, make niyyah and sit in the majlis. Allah, I'm sat in this gathering for this reason. Allah Ta'ala, eliminate this problem of mine or issue of mine. Allah guarantees that inshallah you will not lose out. You will attain what you require. You will attain what you require. Yes, so what a great, great guarantee that every aspect or pillar of life that dhikrullah majlis covers, and akhirah is there for sure. Jannah will be attained for sure. Forgiveness for sure will be attained. Subhanallah. That's automatic. For example, Allah has given us this. And somebody morning and evening, he's got this majlis of dhikrullah. Somebody only once a week comes to the majlis of dhikrullah. Somebody once a month comes to the majlis. Somebody once in the year in the form of the ijtama gets the majlis of dhikr. So look at the difference. Whoever gets this every day, then every day his sins are being eliminated. Every day his darajat are being elevated. Every day the rahmah, mercies of Allah descending. Person who gets it once in the week, then after a week he attains this. Person, he has to wait 1 week for this. So this is the sawal, the question, the akhirah that. So himself he lost out, that person. Yourself you did not partake of this gathering. Allah said, I gave you the path, I gave you the method, and you were miserly, you didn't attend the majlis. Shaitan, he grabbed hold of you, he controlled you. So it's our loss that there's an ocean, there's a river flowing past us, and we don't take the water and drink it. We are thirsty. We're thirsty. We just drink a glass, we're satisfied, that's enough for me. Okay, fine, that's all you'll get in the akhirah, in the hereafter. That Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, what a great message he gave to us. That when Rasulullah SAW went on Miraj and he gave a message, that tell your ummah, or Rasulullah SAW, that Jannah, paradise, it is a very fertile soil in paradise. Very fertile. What a great statement. So if you, in this soil of paradise, and you desire that your mansions are constructed and you're going to come here to Jannah, paradise, then work and toil on the earth in that dunya where you are sent and living, where you will do dhikr, and the work for your construction, the palaces, the mansions will be constructed in paradise. Obviously, that if you've got beautiful palaces and rivers and oceans and ease, and who are these people in paradise? These are those who are doing dhikr all the time in the world. That's why I said to you, Allah Ta'ala says that I don't benefit from your kathir dhikr. Allah says, I have no need for your kathir dhikr, but I had so much love for you, and you are the ummah of my mahbub, so I wanted, Allah Ta'ala says, that I said to you to do kathir dhikr, that the more you do dhikr in abundance, the more your jannah will be manufactured. So today you have mansions, palaces, why are you looking around? So here the dunya is finished now, and you cannot get promotion again. Your life's gone. This is how much you constructed, that's it. One individual I saw in the dream, he had passed away. Allah Ta'ala showed me I had love for somebody. And I saw him, and he used to do amal after maghrib. He used to sit down, do talawat al-Quran, recite Quran. He used to do different actions. He didn't sit in the majlis. He didn't come to dhikr and sit down. So one day, he came in my dream, and I saw in the dream there was a place. And it wasn't that beautiful. You know, like we have council houses, you know, like a state. It was like a council house. And he sat outside there leaning against the door. And I said his name. Assalamu alaikum. I said, you are sitting here? And I looked at his house. And he said, yes, that's it. That's my house. This is all I've got. This is where I am. This is where I am. I said, I'm surprised. I said, this man, this is his house forever. That's it. And then my eyes opened. What did I realize? What did I learn? That's how much he manufactured. All he got was a council house there. The amount he worked hard. And he didn't go beyond that. He didn't go beyond that, tell me. So if he had gone beyond that, alhamdulillah, and he tried hard, worked, and what should he try hard on? What should we work hard on? Make effort. The thing that Allah Ta'ala has instructed in the Quran. Not that we follow some peer saying, some person saying. No, we have to follow the Quran's instruction. The Quran is telling us this. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira. The Quran is saying that do dhikr kathir. Allah is saying, for this reason, Allah says, remember me. Allah doesn't have need for a dhikr. That individual human being who does dhikr, as soon as he does dhikr, then his palaces start to be constructed in the hereafter. So this is the material that we're giving, we're forwarding on. We say, subhanallah, the tree is rooted, planted. We say, subhanallah, the tree is planted. Further up, where are we going to go? Another dream I'll tell you. I saw my mother-in-law. And she passed away. And in that dream, my mother-in-law, she had a quality, mashallah, that she had a lot of love for the dhikr of Allah, extreme love for dhikrullah. And the dhikrullah, she used to spend money when she heard the name of the Khanka for the Khanka. Here, give this money to the Khanka. Give this for the Khan. Give this for the Khan. Whatever she had, she kept on giving for the Khanka. She had extreme, a lot of love for dhikr, mashallah. The rest, like, you know, women, with salah, etc., is the same. But she passed away and I saw her in the dream. Subhanallah. First time I saw Jannah. So beautiful Jannah. High trees, tall trees, and such open fields. And in there was a tree. From the shade of the tree, she was coming out. Subhanallah. And I saw her, and I looked at her closely. I said, this is Amaji. And I said, Assalamu alaikum. I said, MashaAllah. She said, yeah, this is all mine that you're seeing. Subhanallah. These are true dreams, two true dreams I'm sharing with you. I said, this? I was, subhanAllah, I said, your amal, such beautiful Jannah trees. And suddenly in my heart came a feeling, and that showed me that this all the barakah of the dhikr of Allah that I was looking at, subhanAllah. So brothers, this is not something to be shocked and dismayed about. The dismay and the shock is that person who Allah Ta'ala has mentioned these things in the Quran, that if you do these actions, you will get this in the hereafter. And according to that, if we start practicing in our life here now, yes, it's nothing to be shocked about. Allah is saying in the Quran here, that do dhikr kathir, high quantity. Allah Ta'ala doesn't say don't read, pray salah, don't recite Quran. We have to do all of these things. We have to do all of those things. But Jannah, that you have to construct and manufacture, yes, Allah has given us tariqah, method, that the more you practice, Allah is up to Allah, He's the owner, the creator. Allah says, if in Jannah, paradise, you want to decorate it and make it nicer, then don't regret tomorrow. Allah says, I've given you both actions. One is the council house, I've given you one extreme. You sat there and you never used to sit in the dhikr gathering. And the pious lady, she did dhikr kathir. Yes, her ibadah, worship was normal. But, mashallah, she did dhikr kathir and her trees were planted. This hadith where it says, subhanallah, the tree is planted. The tree is planted. So, mashallah, an insan, the human being. I remember there was an Englishman, he became a Muslim in my company. And he was a new Muslim. And when I told him about dhikr, then I told him hadith about dhikr. I said, when a person does dhikrullah, then a tree is planted. He stood up. He said, is that the case? He said, exactly like that, Sheikh. I said, yes, it's like that. Exactly. And I told him the hadith, obviously 100% is according to the hadith. Then he stood up. He said, subhanallah. Then there I will have so many trees and so many modes of transport with the hands. He said, I'll have so many gardens. And he put his hands out. I said, yes, Allah will give you many gardens. He had yakin, certainty on this. And he stuck himself to the dhikr, a dare to dhikr. This is one normal person, a new Muslim, even. Look at us. Look us, fathers, grandfathers, ancestors, and we don't have akal. We don't understand that what do we need to do? Which amal? How much should we do which amal? Until to now, we don't have the awareness, the understanding that which amal and which style, how much we should perform, that will give us akhirah. That everything we're doing for the akhirah, isn't it? Salah, we pray for the akhirah, isn't it? For the hereafter. Maghrib salah, we prayed for the akhirah, for the hereafter. Zohr salah is for the akhirah, we did it. Fajr salah, for the akhirah. So at least we should have this much sense, whatever amal we're doing, then the hereafter, how much portion will we get of reward? Well, how much portion? Fajr salah in the morning you prayed, everyone's gone. But some people, they sat down and remained, and after that did dhikrullah, and they were immersed in dhikrullah. Sumla, say subhanallah. Look at that. Yes, and what are they doing? What are they doing? They're doing the amal according to the way that has been explained in the hadith. They sit down after Fajr Salah, they do dhikrullah, and then after that, the sun had to rise. Then the sun rises, then they say subhanallah, and they get up, they pray two rakah salah nafil, they go. And then for that, so many hadith, just one hadith I'll share with you. Soon as they're free from above, Allah announces, this is Sahih al-Bukhari hadith, that you've done this action now, you prayed Fajr Salah, and you did the action that I explained to you, Allah said, instructed. You could do anything else you wanted to do at that time. Thousands of other amal. But you did the amal that is beneficial at that specific moment in time. Allah said, you did the amal that I prescribed to you, that prescription, that this is the amal that will give you benefit. You did the amal. You didn't reject it. You didn't reject it. There are other amal you could do. But this time you did the amal, Allah said, that I like, that I had given you reward for. What was the amal? That when you do this deed, and all the other amal, you leave at that time, you come to the amal of dhikrullah. According to the dhikrullah, the reward, Allah says, of Sa'ad, you'll get that. What is that? A hajj and an umrah, thawab, reward. You'll get. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this, the Sahaba was sitting, did say once, three times the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this, one hajj umrah, one hajj and umrah, one hajj and umrah. Sahaba Akram, noble companions, they looked, and what a great guarantee, but we don't want to do the amal. Shaitan makes us do other actions, or he takes us away, he takes us to other amal. No, brothers, amal, do that amal that the Quran has prescribed to us, that at this moment in time, the day, do this deed to get this benefit. Ramadan amal, they'll give you benefit in Ramadan. Morning salah will give you benefit in the morning. Zohr salah will give you the benefit at Zohr time. The tasbih of the morning will give you benefit in the morning. The dua of the morning, the Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallam has prescribed this for the morning, is give you benefit in the morning. Dhuhr Salah won't give you the benefit. So this is the system that we need to learn. So dhikrullah is such a great asset, such a great method, that it's a machine to manufacture your hereafter. And it is kathir. Keep on printing, keep on producing. So what we need to do is learn dhikr Allah from a shaykh, a waliyallah, that we can do all the time. And such a dhikr that our work of the dunya doesn't stop. Business is running, children you're sitting with, wife, house, family, your occupation keeps on running. But your dhikr should also continue in parallel. That is the way of coming into dhikr. So Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. So what I was requesting is that shaitan, he stops us from doing good things. He makes us weak. But dhikrullah that we're doing, why are we doing dhikrullah? So that, because it's Allah's order, instruction. That's it. We're not doing it for good taste, good feeling, good emotions. So don't leave this action. If you leave dhikr, then shaitan is one. You're lazy, negligent, doesn't matter. Keep on going. Don't care. Because there's a guarantee behind this action. Whatever situation in, your eyes are closed, you don't feel like it, the tasbih is turning. Even if you do this much, that you take the tasbih and you sit down, you're feeling drowsy, sleepy, you can't do anything. The whole thawab of dhikrullah, you will attain. You will attain. So that's what we need. What else do we need? You're feeling sleepy, drowsy, but don't leave the tasbih. And you give your full time. You leave that saying, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that, and leave it like people do. They're doing talawat, you're reading the Quran, you're feeling sleepy. The hukam is leave talawat. Yes, because other words may be uttered. And it's shara masla. It's a sharia masla. That don't do talawat at that time when you're feeling drowsy or sleepy. Yes, same way, food is ready, you're eating food, it's salah time. The first eat, complete the food, then pray salah. Don't leave that. Don't miss it. But same way, dhikrullah, what's the instruction? That even if you're drowsy, sleepy, continue to do dhikrullah, subhanAllah. Why? Because even then it will give you benefit. Even then it will give you benefit. Even then you will be included in the list of the dhakirin and not the ghafirin. Even though at the time of sleeping a person becomes ghafil, but Allah Ta'ala says, subhanAllah. Imagine what is the reward. That the biggest negligence, what's the place of laziness most of all? Tell me. The place of laziness most of all is our mattress, our bed where we go to sleep. That's the place, isn't it? Where a person's lazy and he gets laid back, he goes to the mattress, oh, let me go to sleep. Allah Ta'ala says that there, that place of laziness in your mattress as well, those who do dhikrullah even there, then they will go into paradise laughing and smiling. So what a great, great maqam and daraja for dhikr. Even at that time, Allah has given reward for the dhakirin at the time when they're going to sleep. You're closing your eyes saying, Allah, 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 Allah. And he's going towards the sleep. The high maqam that he will enter, smiling, laughing. How? That subhanAllah, I've got no pain, it's so easy. I didn't even know it was the plane of resurrection or accounting or judgment. He'll be smiling, laughing. Well, otherwise, why will he laugh? He'll say, oh, I didn't even realize the day of judgment. What was the barakah of that? Due to the barakah of dhikrullah. So brothers, we should do dhikr, inshallah, try hard, work hard. I should try hard, you should try hard. So these few words that came into my heart, my mind today, I'll share with you. Don't be lazy. There should be no way laziness in anything. And no amal be lazy. What is that? Because that's shaitan who's stopping you. Keep on doing it, keep on doing it, keep on doing it. Whatever situation you're in, keep on doing it, keep on doing it.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. As-salamu as-salamu wa sayyidu al-Muslim. جبريل المسلمين طه وياسين الحبيب الأمين آمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر آمين ہمارے ایک ساتھی ہیں بندے کی ان کی نانی کا انتقال ہو گیا ان کے لیے دعا فرمائیں اللہ تعالیٰ ان کی مغفرت فرمائے جنت میں اعلیٰ درجہ نصیب فرمائے ان کے لواحقین کو اللہ سب نصیب فرمائے وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين امين